turned on here. Testing, testing, testing. Hey, we have been treated very well here, and I want to thank Mike, you for your hospitality and helping set up yesterday and making sure other kids were invited, helping with the slides, and Chad and the church. You guys hooked us up with a great cabin, and if it wasn't for one of our band members who has an exam tomorrow in Florida, we would just hang out here and enjoy this place. It's beautiful. It reminds us a lot of Tennessee, where we lived for 6 years prior to relocating to Florida. So thank you. You guys have been incredibly hospitable, and it's a real treat for us to be here. So if you have a Bible, I want to invite you to turn with me to Psalm 19. Back in Florida, we are doing a community Bible study for unchurched people and church folks that live in our neighborhood. We've been studying the Psalms for the last several weeks, and so this is a psalm that I have spent many years with, and it has provoked me to become something of an amateur astronomer, and you'll see why as we take a close look at it. But I want you to just think with me for a moment. An introduction to this psalm about how amazing life is. And the older I get, the more amazing life becomes in my own eyes. There's so much we understand about ourselves, but yet there's so much we don't understand about ourselves. Like the rest of the living creatures in the animal kingdom, we have this innate desire to want to protect ourselves. We want to preserve our lives. So we are all about our own safety. And we share that with the rest of the living creatures in the animal kingdom. But what we don't share with the rest of the living creatures in the animal kingdom is not only do we want to preserve our lives, we have this amazing need to understand our lives. And it's very important for us to know what our purpose is. And so we ask ourselves questions, whether consciously or unconsciously, where did we come from? Why are we here? And where are we going? And I don't know if you've had a time in your life where you have paused long enough and thought hard enough about those three questions. Where did you come from? Why are you here? And where are you going? Those questions touch on the issue of the meaning of life. What is your purpose for being? And you've got this desire to know that, whether you're aware of it or not. And that is why, for all humans, the God question is so important. Because when it comes to answering what your purpose is, what your meaning is, everything hangs on whether or not God exists. Is He there? And if He is there, what is He like? Who is He? Psalm 19, surprisingly enough, tells us that yes, there is a God there. And in the words of Francis Schaeffer, He is there and He's not silent. He's willing to reveal Himself and disclose Himself and speak to us so that we can understand not only that He is there, but what He's like. And that helps us in our innate desire to understand life's meaning, life's purpose. And so Psalm 19 celebrates the fact that God is all about revealing Himself to you. And Psalm 19 celebrates the fact that He's done it in two ways. He's done it through this world that all of us occupy, and He's done it through this book that all of us have open this morning, the Bible. So God has revealed Himself through creation, and He's revealed Himself through the Scriptures. Now, you've heard that, I'm sure, and you've thought about that. Probably so much so that you're familiar enough to not be moved by what I just said. A lot of people that have been in church for a long time struggle with the curse of familiarity. They've heard something so often that it has, over time, lost its impact. It's lost its punch. It's lost its poignancy. And so what I want to help you do this morning is resurrect a sense of wonder about the fact that God has revealed himself to you through creation and through this book, the Bible. And I want us to spend some time just thinking about the ways that God has revealed himself through creation. So let's do that by looking at the first part of Psalm 19. Psalm 19 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth. Their words to the end of the world." The heavens declare the glory of God. That word, the glory of God, or that phrase, the glory of God, it has many different connotations depending upon what context you find it in. But in this psalm, it really speaks to the fact that God is there, that he is real. And the fact that he's there is recognizable in the universe, in the heavens. Now, what I want to do this morning is lift you above your human perspective of the heavens and give you an amateur astronomy lesson. And so I want to start with just this planet that is our viewing platform. And I just want you to think about creation in a fresh way. Think about this dirt clod floating in outer space called planet Earth that you and I are living on. We're sitting on it right now. We're strapped by the seatbelt of gravity to planet Earth. And we are flying through outer space right now at 66,500 miles per hour. Did you realize that? We are orbiting the sun that is 93 million miles away from us at a speed of 66,500 miles per hour. It takes us 1 year to orbit the sun. It takes Pluto, that's much further away from the sun, 248 years. So we're on this speck of dust flying through interstellar space at a speed of unimaginable propensity or intensity. And we're on this little dirt clog that's 8,000 miles in diameter. It's got 197 million square miles of surface area. Two-thirds of it is water. We're tilted on our north-south axis at 23.5 degrees. We're rotating on that axis once every 24 hours so that we have night and day cycles. And this is our viewing platform out into the heavens. And we're pretty impressed with planet Earth, aren't we? I mean, think about it. There's really no place like it in the universe. There's literally thousands of varieties of plant and animal life to be found here. It's incredibly unique. But it's really just an inconspicuous dot on the cosmic map. It's really nothing compared to the rest of the universe. In fact, Stephen Hawking, the Lucasian professor at Cambridge University, probably the most brilliant scientist of today, said, you know what, it's really just a medium-sized planet orbiting an average-sized star in the outer suburbs of an ordinary spiral galaxy, which is itself only one of about 100 billion other galaxies. So it ain't that impressive. Think about it. Our Milky Way galaxy, which is 120,000 light years in diameter and 1,000 light years thick, according to Stephen Hawking, is one of billions of other galaxies in the observable universe, not the speculative universe. And we're this little tiny planet in a planetary system in the outer spiral arm of this Milky Way galaxy. Well, let's move from our planet and this Milky Way galaxy to just think about what's around us in the universe. What's out there that will really reveal to you the glory of God? Just how amazing God is, how powerful he must be, how intelligent he must be, how loving he must be, how incredibly creative he must be. What is out there? Our Milky Way galaxy is in a neighborhood of galaxies called the local group. There's about 40 galaxies that make up what is called the local group. I want to kind of impress you with just how massive this neighborhood called the local group is. The nearest neighboring galaxy to us is called the Magellanic Clouds. That's our nearest neighbor in this neighborhood called the local group of galaxies that we reside in. It is 170 light years away from us. Now, when something is so far in terms of distance, you have to measure it in terms of light years. You know as well as I do that light travels at a speed of 186,282 miles per second. So in 1 second, light is so fast, it can cover 186,282 miles. In the course of 1 year, light traveling at that speed can cover 5.9 trillion miles. So in 1 year, light can travel 5.9 trillion miles. To reach our nearest neighbor called the Magellanic Clouds, it would take 170,000 years traveling at the speed of light to get there. And that's our nearest neighbor in the local group. The one that resides on the outer limits of the local group is another spiral galaxy called the Andromeda Spiral Galaxy. You ever seen pictures of it? Traveling at the speed of light, it would take you 2.1 million years to reach it. Astronomers today know of galaxies. Listen to this. Have observed and photographed galaxies that are 13 billion light years away. 13 billion light years away. Observing those galaxies is like looking at the beginning of time. It's pretty uniform in science that they estimate the age of the universe to be 13.73 billion years old. When you're viewing an object 13 billion light years away, you are viewing conditions very close to the very beginning of time. Those were the very earliest galaxies to form in the universe. And Hubble Space Technology is allowing us to view these images. In fact, it's interesting, in 1998, before this current generation of telescopic power was installed on the Hubble spacecraft, in 1998, they aimed this 40-foot-long telescope that is out there called the Hubble Space Telescope. It's 400 miles above the Earth's surface. It's traveling at 17,000 miles per hour, and it's taking photographs everywhere. But they fixed the camera at a patch of night sky that was the size of a grain of sand if you held it at arm's length. And they left it there for a period of time. And over the course of collecting light during this period of time, they mapped over 4,000 galaxies in a patch of night sky that small. 4,000 galaxies. In 2005, when the lens was updated and more power was added to the Hubble space technology, they took the camera lens and focused it at a patch of night sky that was one-tenth the diameter of the moon's surface. And they left it there for literally 1 million seconds. It's the longest exposure ever taken by a telescopic camera. So for 278 hours, they fixed the lens at this patch of night sky the size of one-tenth of the moon's radius. And they collected light during this period of time, this very brief period of time, and photographed over 10,000 galaxies. Now, here's what's amazing. Here's what's really cool. Because there is uniformity throughout this universe with respect to star density and galaxy density, they're pretty evenly distributed throughout the surface of the universe. So that if you can count the number of stars and galaxies in one patch of night sky, if you've got the entire observable universe to work with, then you can do the math and figure out how many stars and galaxies there must be in the rest of the universe. And that's what they have done. And guess how many galaxies there are in the observable universe? Over 200 billion other galaxies in the observable universe. Over 200 billion galaxies in the observable universe. And each of those galaxies, by the way, contain an average of 200 billion stars. Some of the giant galaxies contain up to a trillion stars. Now, if you don't think that's mind-boggling enough, I'm going to make it mind-boggling. This is really cool because this is where I go from the Bible, which is special revelation that says the heavens declare the glory of God, to going out and looking at creation and actually seeing what it's saying. Okay? That's what I hope you do this morning. Is God's glory, His fingerprints are everywhere. So I want to help you grasp the fact that there are 200 billion galaxies out there, each containing on average 200 billion stars. That means that just based on these non-dwarf galaxies, there are 40 billion trillion stars in the observable universe. 40 billion trillion stars in the observable universe. Now, if you consider the dwarf galaxies that don't emit enough light for us to pick up telescopically, conservative estimate says there's another 10 billion trillion stars in those dwarf galaxies. So they estimate, pretty conservatively, that there are 50 billion trillion stars in the observable universe. Now, you and I have the capability of seeing 6,000 stars from planet Earth with the naked eye. And at one time, we can only see up to 2,500 stars because we live on a round globe and we don't have full exposure to the universe around us because we're confined to wherever we are on this round globe. So David says the heavens are declaring the glory of God, and at best he can see 2,500 of these stars. And there's 50 billion trillion of them out there. Now I know you guys can't grasp that number, and neither can the adults in the room. But think of it this way. If you stack dimes neatly on top of one another and beside each other, and you went 1,500 feet high, you could cover the entire North American continent with 50 billion trillion dimes. Let me just try to translate this into how vast the universe must be. There's 50 billion trillion stars in the universe. Now, we're not talking about jelly beans when we talk about a star. They're massive. You know what the average diameter of a star is? It's 1,000,000 miles. Our sun, the diameter of our sun is 864,400 miles in diameter. And it's a small one. The average size star is 1,000,000 miles in diameter. So you got 50 billion trillion objects that are the size of 1,000,000 miles in diameter in this universe. And here's what's even more amazing. They're not right next to each other. In order for stars to exist, the closest they can be without the force of gravity pulling them into one another and causing a supernova explosion is 4 light years. That's the closest star density for stellar bodies to exist independently of one another. The average star density throughout the universe is, in fact, right at 6 light years. That's the spatial distance between stars if they are spread out through the surface of the universe. 6 light years apart. That's 40 trillion miles of distance between stars, and there are 50 billion trillion of them in the universe. God knows them all by name. Let me put that in perspective. To show you how far apart stars are from one another. If you could reduce the mass of a star, says astronomers, from this 1,000,000 miles in diameter to the size of a grapefruit, and you wanted to show a scale of how close stars are to one another based on 6 light years of average distance, you would take your grapefruit and you would go stand in the middle of Los Angeles. Then you'd give your buddy a grapefruit that represents a star. You know where he would have to go to show you on scale how far stars are apart from one another? He'd have to go stand in Peru or Siberia with his grapefruit. That's how far apart stars are on average at a minimum in order for them to survive. And there are 50 billion trillion of them in the observable universe. And you say, oh, that can't be. That's exaggeration. It's not. In fact, the number keeps going up. as we have more and more technological power to view the universe. You see, this is what's fascinating. The universe is far bigger than what we actually view it to be right now. You never view the universe as it actually is in present real time. You realize that, don't you? If we go stand out there in the parking lot and look at the sun, you're not viewing the sun as it is in real time. You're viewing the sun as it was 8 minutes and 20 seconds ago. That's how long it took light to leave the sun and reach your eyes. So you're always looking back in time when you look at the universe. So, for example, when you're viewing an object that's 13 billion light years away, you're not viewing the object as it is right now when you're looking through the telescope. You're viewing that object as it existed 13 billion years ago. So the actual universe and the universe that we are looking at is far different. In fact, some scientists say there's a magnitude difference of times 10. So the universe is far bigger than what we're even looking at through our current generation of telescopes. Now listen, I want you to just think about this. You got a lot of stuff on your mind. Think of all the petty stuff that occupies your mind. Think of all the stuff that just stresses you out, the stuff that you just stay weighed down with. Whether it's health, relationships, money, I don't know what it is. I just know in my own life, I think about all this garbage that just sucks life out of me, and I lose this sense of wonder and amazement by contemplating the truth of what's out there. And God is saying, I put all of that out there for you to see and behold my glory. In fact, this is what's so cool. God located our little planetary system in the outer suburb of a spiral arm of the Milky Way galaxy just perfectly for us to be able to view all of this. Had we been located anywhere else, we wouldn't be able to view the universe as we can view it from planet Earth. But our planetary system is located at just the right place in a spiral arm, in a spiral galaxy, for us to view it. And in fact, it's even more spectacular than that. God placed the Milky Way galaxy in one of the darkest places in the universe. And so we don't have excessive light pollution. And without the excessive light pollution, we are able to view and collect light that's out there. And we can map all of this stuff cosmically. It's almost as though God wanted us to see all of this. He wants to speak to you. Not only does the universe show His power, it says something about His love. He wants to reveal Himself to you. So much so that only 0.27% of the universe's matter actually emits light. The vast majority of all the matter in the universe is dark matter. God kept the lights off so that you could see everything. And He kept us from any massive galaxies that would emit so much light that we'd be blind to what's out there. And He just stationed us just right. So we are geographically perfect on the cosmic map to view all of this. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of His hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the world or the earth. Their words to the ends of the world. You see what's happening here? God's revealing Himself through the heavens. He's doing it 24/7, according to verse 2. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they display knowledge. It's an uninterrupted chorus that's going on in the universe. God's saying, I'm here, and I'm powerful, and I'm loving, and I'm gracious, and your problems are not that big. Give me a break. And you know what? Not only is this happening continually, it's happening universally. This is not just something we Americans get a shot at. Everybody on this globe gets to hear this message. Look at verse 3. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth. Their words to the ends of the world. It sounds a lot like Romans 1 that says, men are without excuse because that which may be known about God is plain to them all. He's made it plain through the things which He has created. His invisible attributes, His divine and eternal power. It's clearly seen in the created universe. But we have this thing called sin inside of us, and we just turn that radio station off. And we're just, I don't know what it is, it's something twisted in all of us that we just want to, you know, put our eyes down and stay preoccupied with all this stuff that just sucks life out of us. And we've lost our ability to be amazed. We've lost our ability to imagine great things. We've lost our sense of wonder. We've lost our sense of, dang, that's cool. We've lost our ability to be happy. I think the way to get that back is to take advantage of what God has surrounded us with. Boy, it's so tempting. You know, I would love to go into the rest of this psalm, but I don't have time. Here's what's amazing. Just to fast forward this and prepare you for the Lord's Supper. This incredibly powerful God created all of this by His spoken word through the agency of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the work of Jesus. He was the means by which God pulled all of this off. It says that in John 1, it says it in Hebrews 1, it says it in Colossians 1. You've read it up in the New Testament, you know it says it. Jesus is the one responsible for all of this. And God wasn't content to just leave His revelation out in the heavens. He took on the form of a man and came to this speck of dust called planet Earth and lived among us. And He incarnated Himself, became one of us, so that we would really get it. So that we would really hear Him speak. And He revealed Himself through the person of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who walked among us. You want to know what God's like? Yeah, you can look at the universe and get some pretty amazing information about what God must be like. But that universe points us to the one who created it, which is Jesus, who walked among us. And you can read your New Testament and watch how Jesus did life. Watch how He carried Himself. Watch how He treated people. And you can get a much more vivid picture of what God is like. But you know, God didn't even stop there. God invited you into a relationship with this Jesus, who spatially was removed from you when He was taken into heaven. But He was taken into heaven so that His Spirit may be poured out, so that He could actually do one better than physically walk among you. He could actually live inside of you. And so this God that created the universe, who became a man, left the planet, ascended to heaven, poured out His Spirit so that He could indwell you, so that He could live inside of you, so that you could know Him, so that He could write His law on your hearts and reveal who He is to your heart of hearts. So you ask the question, what is my purpose? What's the meaning of life? Where did I come from? Why am I here and where am I going? The God question helps you answer those questions. But it does so by presenting to you Jesus, in whom we find answers to all of those questions that are innately inside of us. So I'm going to ask Chad to come up and lead us in the Lord's Supper. Let me close us in prayer. Ask Chad to preach on the rest of this psalm. It's so good. Father, You're so amazing. even in this psalm, you write a poem about the sun, the physical sun that's 93 million miles away. Nothing is hidden from its heat, your word says in this psalm. We only live off of 1/1,000,000,000 of its energy. And yet it's just one of 50 billion trillion other light stars in this universe. God, you must be so amazingly powerful, so incredibly trustworthy, so amazingly glorious. And I pray that you would enlighten us, open our eyes, open our hearts, and draw us into the wonder of this revelation. That you are the God who's there, and you are the God who's not silent. So give us ears to hear. Father, draw us into a sense of wonder about your Son, the Lord Jesus, in whom you perfectly reveal yourself. Thank you, we can come to this table in the power of your Spirit who lives inside of us and unites us to Jesus. We pray all of this in his special and spectacular name. Amen.